This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's hour number three of Cashing Out right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We've got an absolutely tremendous hour coming up for you as we've got NBA Finals game number 7 going down. We have to talk about that. All 30 teams in Major League Baseball are going to be in action as well. We talked a little College Baseball World Series with Johnny Venezzi in hour number 2. Don't do a ton with College World Series / College Baseball. So if you want a little bit there, VSiN.com/podcast. We've got you guys all covered there. And we're going to wrap up the show by just taking a look at everything that I'm going to be looking to bet on for this tremendous Sunday. Dog days of summer are coming upon us where we've got not a lot to bet on other than the WNBA along with MLB baseball. And I tell you this, when I open up my social media feed, I don't know what you guys all see / don't see. It just always warms my heart that no matter what happens, John Rothstein will indeed be reporting upon things like UConn taking on East Texas A&M in a non-conference game. Just something that we need a little bit more of in our lives. I always love John Rothstein, so shout out to him. He deserves it on this day. And what we deserve is an absolutely tremendous game number 7. It's the first one that we're getting in darn near a decade, and we've got ourselves some good fun here. As right now, the line in most places is a 7, with the OKC Thunder being a favorite, and the total is right around about a 214.5. Might find that a half a point higher in some spots, but mostly seeing a 214.5. And I think that we're really on to something in terms of this game most likely being at the normal tempo. I don't think that teams are going to stray away from what they truly are. It's a Pacers team that has been harebrained. They have been up-tempo all throughout the entirety of the postseason. They have not broken character. And for the OKC Thunder, they've been willing to run as well, but it's just been a case where the OKC Thunder have just not had the world's greatest shooting performances. It's been a lot of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and certainly Jalen Williams had that massive game, if I'm not mistaken, in game number 5. But other than that, the offensive performances for the OKC Thunder have been relatively muted. The three-point shooting in general hasn't been amazing, even though the Indiana Pacers, let's call it what it is, they're not the best defensive team they are finding in the NBA. But it just feels like the OKC Thunder have been very touch and go with regards to the offense in terms of what you're able to get out of the ancillary pieces. And if I'm looking at some player props to go under on, I do think that's a little bit tough for these ancillary pieces. And I think that this needs to be thrown in here as well. If you took the, shall we say, bench warmers, if you took the reserves in terms of going over on a lot of their props in game number 6, because the game was such a big stinking blowout in game number 60, I got there on so many of them. Now, a lot of people were looking at them for the Indiana Pacers because of the Tyrese Haliburton injury. Turns out Tyrese Haliburton looked a little bit better than what many people expected. I certainly didn't think that Tyrese Haliburton was going to look that good, and for game number 7, I would say that that got very much just priced accordingly here. Now you no longer have these, shall we say, higher numbers in terms of a lot of the reserves. But there is still one guy that I take a look at for the Indiana Pacers that is a reserve, and I do think that he has a little bit of value to the over, and that would be Mr. Ben Mathurin. For Ben Mathurin, I've just been really yo-yoing his player prop. I thought that we were going to be able to get there in game number 6. He had a nice, or I think that was game number 5, had a nice first quarter, and then just faded into the abyss from there. Did not play it in game number 6, mainly because it had gone north of 10, and I just did not want to have anything invested in Ben Mathurin going over 10 plus points. I thought that that was just a little bit too rich for my blood, so we stayed off there. But for Ben Mathurin, I think that he goes out there and he's able to get the over 7.5 that we're seeing right now. That's one of the few ones that I'd be taking a look at the over on, but I just don't know what you're going to be able to get out of some of these other, shall we say, interesting characters. Like, I just don't think that Kendrick Williams is going to give you too much. I mean, that's a low one at a 2.5, but is he really going to be able to go out there, give you too much? I'm not sure. The one that I really wouldn't want to fade is Kayson Wallace of the OKC Thunder. That over-under is at 4.5. I just think that that's set a little bit too low. I mean, a drive-in layup and a 3, that gets you over. That's just a little bit too much of a roll of the dice. I could get 2 buckets and a free throw, that gets you over. But I mean, TJ McConnell right now over 9.5 is at a minus 115, like the under. You're right now seeing Aaron Wiggins at 7.5. I would like that under as well. Alex Caruso, you're finding that at 9.5. I recognize that he's been a little bit of a spark plug throughout the postseason, but I mean, he's a little bit more of an energy guy on the defensive side of things as well. So I think that a lot of these ancillary guys are going to be going under because I do think that the nerves are going to be able to get to them a little bit. Now, typically in these game number sevens, you do have a little bit of an unlikely hero. Again, I think that that could be Ben Mathurin. Like with Mathurin, he had a nice, relatively good start to this series. Last two games have been very much bottled up a little bit more, but I feel like Mathurin could be that guy that becomes a little bit of a spark plug when they need to go to a guy to be able to give them a little bit of energy. He has been one of the top guys for this Indiana Pacers team throughout the postseason, but I also do think that you're going to see a lot of missed shots. I know that Scott Seidenberg on Live Bet Saturday was talking about this. We talked about this a little bit in hour number one with Grant Mitchell, who does great work over at Forbes, is one half of the Ride the Lion podcast. And while I don't want Pascal Siakam over his player points, I really do think that the OKC Thunder are going to lock in on him. Being able to get over 7.5 rebounds at even money is something I like. The one guy I really don't like is Chet Holmgren over 10.5 rebounds. You'd be able to get that at a plus 115, but again, just a little bit too rich for my blood. Right now, the 9.5, you have to lay a minus 140 on that. That's just, juice is not worth the squeeze, in my opinion, though I would look at Chet Holmgren under his, shall we say, a point prop. Right now, that's over at a 15.5. Just too high there, as these game sevens have such interesting dynamics. I talked about this a little bit in hour number two, but I think that's worth bringing up once again right here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And I do think that the coaching angle is so interesting because for the OKC Thunder, just haven't been necessarily through a lot of these just winner-take-all games, especially in this postseason, because they've been able to really land base a lot of their opponents. They were able to get through the West relatively easily, and for this Indiana Pacers team, it's sort of been a case where they've had to go through a lot of these wars. They've had to go through the Cleveland Cavaliers, the New York Knicks, and they've got a guy that knows how to be able to coach in these sorts of situations in Rick Carlisle. I think that that's a big factor in this game, and I do think that he's going to have his team ready. Now, I'm going to continue to stay tried and true to what I've been doing all throughout the postseason. Team that is down in this game in the fourth quarter is a team that I'm going to be live betting unless if I see something very, very dramatic to push me off of it. For the Indiana Pacers, they have been the comeback kids all throughout the postseason. Look no further than game one in both the Knicks series and in this series. Heck, I believe that there were three straight series where they were down 7-plus points with less than 50 seconds remaining and won outright a game in all three of those scenarios. So we know that they're able to do it, but I do think that this is going to be a game where there's going to be a lot of shots chucked up. I think that there's going to be a lot of rebounds to be had, and I would say that in the end, I do think that the OKC Thunder are able to get the job done. Would not want to lay like a minus 285 on the money line because I have no confidence in them being able to cover that 7. Heck, if I had to play the spread right now, I would rather take 7 rather than lay 7. But if you're looking to reduce that juice a little bit, this would be the one way that I would say that you're able to do so. And you're still paying through the nose on it. You're paying still like minus $2, minus 205 in terms of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander to win finals MVP. But I mean, unless if he just throws out there a complete and utter stink burger and he just gives you nothing in game number 7, and or Jalen Williams has like 60 points or something like that, who else wins finals MVP for the OKC Thunder? Maybe I'm off base. Maybe I'm discrediting Jalen Williams a little bit too much, but I mean, that's a way that you're able to get down the juice just a little bit. So I think that that's something that you're wanting to take a look at. If you do believe that the OKC Thunder find a way to get it done, I don't know if I'd want over on 32.5/31.5 points for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Again, you're just asking a little bit too much, but he's been the main guy to be able to get a bucket for you in the postseason. Honestly, I would be rather looking at his rebound prop. Over 5.5 rebounds, you're able to get that at plus 120. Obi Toppin, to be able to get over 6 rebounds at a plus 120, I'm not sure about that, but I will say this. I think that's a little bit correlated in terms of the props of Obi Toppin and how the Pacers do. As the Pacers are able to win games, and as they come, Obi Toppin is going over his props. For Obi Toppin, we saw what he was able to do in game number one. He had those 5 made threes. He was so instrumental in giving that team a chance to be able to win that game. We saw what he did in game 6. His 20 points led the way for the Indiana Pacers. They get the job done in their most convincing win pretty much here in the postseason. It was only a 17-point win, but went up 30 points going into the fourth quarter, so they certainly left their stamp on that game. So I would say that that is a little bit of a correlation that I do have here, but in terms of some of these other players to be able to go over the rebound prop, I recognize that for Tyrese Haliburton might be a little bit more of a roll of the dice, but I would say that for his overall player prop in terms of the points, I wouldn't want any part of that. We've seen him be cold here in the postseason, but if you're looking at points, rebounds, and assists, because I do think that he's going to have the ball in his hands quite a bit, and I do think that he's going to be able to hit the glass for this team, but as well, very good rebounder for the player that he is. I would say that over 4.5 rebounds, being able to get that at plus 110 is rock solid as well. And plus, let me throw this in here as well. Let's say that for some reason you do get overtime, all those rebound props are going to be going over as well. So you get a little bit of added value with that regard. Heck, you even get like a little bit of a follow-thon. Let's say that you've got like a 1 and 2 at the free throw line. You get some of those rebounds too. So I think that you've got a lot of ways to be able to go over on a lot of these rebounds. I do think that with regards to the points props market, again, fading a lot of these ancillary guys is a place where I'd be really looking to go. Other than Ben Mathurin, the zigzag theory of Ben Mathurin has proved to be very, very fruitful here in the postseason. So that's a guy that I do like to the over. And again, Pascal Siakam, they're trying to call him the Thunder Taker if they're able to, the Pacers are, win game number 7. I certainly would be looking at his over rebound prop. That's currently at a 7.5. I think that he's going to have his imprint on this game. If I had to play it right now, again, going to be playing this in-game, I would take the 7 right now with the Indiana Pacers, but I do think they're going to get a little bit of a better opportunity once this thing gets rolling. And how about if we do get rolling with taking a look at this Sunday MLB card? We've got 30 teams in total that are going to be in action. We've got quite a few interleague games, and how about if we highlight those on the flip side, as we've got ourselves a great Sunday in sports, and we're going to be breaking it all down here throughout the night on Cashin' Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Back here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We've got ourselves a tremendous Sunday in sports. All 30 teams in Major League Baseball are going to be in action. We've got NBA Finals game number 7. Hey, that Indiana Fever versus Las Vegas Aces game, that's going to be pretty rock solid as well. Where I'm at here in lovely Las Vegas as well. Travelers Championship, College Baseball World Series, you name it, we got it. And then once the finals is done, man, it gets into the dog days of summer. Fortunately, I do baseball all day, every day, so we've got you guys all covered there, and we've got ourselves a lot of fun games that are going to be happening for Sunday. So how about if we go with the earliest interleague game to get things started? Because, well, the Pittsburgh Pirates may not be winning a lot of games. They can win you a lot of money with this angle that I'm going to be putting down. 971, 972 on the card. The Walker Texas Rangers are on the road against the Pittsburgh Pirates as Bailey Falter hopes to not live up to his name for the Pirates, and got Jack Leiter going for the Rangers. Relatively close to a pick 'em. You've got the Pirates in a lot of spots right around about minus 110, minus 115. You're able to find about even money, minus 105 on Texas, and total on this game is 9, and I just don't understand why we've got this high of a total. Now, it is getting a little bit warmer out there in the northeast part of the country, but you got two teams that have been a wet match in a dark cave in terms of their offense. This Pittsburgh Pirates team, out of 30 teams in Major League Baseball, guess where they rank in run production? 30th. You've got O'Neill Cruz has been able to give you 12 plus home runs. Brian Reynolds has been able to give you 8 home runs. Andrew McCutchen, 7 or 8 home runs. These are the lone three guys on the roster with north of 4 home runs this year. It is going to be June 22nd, and you've got three guys on the roster with north of 4 home runs this season. Not a lot of power happening out there in Pittsburgh, and it's not like these guys are doing some sort of an amazing job of moving the line as well. Like, you've got a lot of mix and match guys that are just giving you a big, giant nothing burger in general. Like, I mean, I mentioned Brian Reynolds a little bit before. He's not doing a great job of moving the line, and neither is O'Neill Cruz. Like, O'Neill Cruz is right now giving you a 215 average. You know, want to take a look at all these guys and get 220 or lower. I just mentioned two of those guys. You've got Tommy Pham, Alexander Canario, Jared Trollo, Henry Davis, like a whole bunch of guys. They're giving you nothing. And I will give this to the Texas Rangers. Offense has been a little bit better for them. Marcus Semien, Adolis Garcia are now hitting above a 220. Same with Jake Berger. But, I mean, Wyatt Langford, their top home run hitter, is currently dealing with an injury. Corey Seager has not looked right since coming off the injury list at all. So That's been a little bit rough. You've been able to get a bit of production out of Josh Smith. He's been able to give you north of a 270 average as well, but hey, man, it's been rough out there. But what I really actually like for this Texas Rangers team, bullpen has been tremendous for them. They are up to number 4 in terms of bullpen area with a 325. Got a lot of mix and match guys like a Chris Martin you're able to throw in there. Robert Garcia. They were having Jacob Lats coming out of the bullpen. They might be utilizing him as a starter slash a bulk guy moving forward. But Hobie Milner, guys that are giving you a sub-3 ERA. Pride of Hortonville, Wisconsin. Caleb Bowsley, shout out there. He's become a relatively good long guy for the team as well. And you might need it with the way that Jack Leiter does give up north of 4 walks per 9 innings. Only getting about 7.3 strikeouts per 9 innings. A less than tremendous 440 ERA. But again, you're going against a Pirates team that really can't hit. But for the Pirates, their bullpen has emerged as well. They've been a top 8 team over the last 35 days in terms of their bullpen ERA. David Benar has decided to stop poop at the Benar. He's been a little bit better for you. Chase Shogart has been able to give you some good innings. You've got Dennis Santana, Caleb Ferguson, the former Dodgers, who've been pretty solid as well. So I think that you get a little bit of a lower scoring game. And Bailey Falter's actually been really good. 2 runs or fewer allowed in 7 out of his last 9 games. I will say he's not getting a lot of strikeouts, 6 strikeouts per 9 innings, gives up a few too many, shall we say, walks, but has really done a nice job keeping the ball in the yard. I think that you get a low-scoring game, semi-total 7.8. I like the under. And for the Pirates, I did make them the minus 114 favorite, so up to a minus 113 is what I'm willing to lay on the money line as it is cashing out with myself, Greg Oops Peterson, right here on Visa, the Sports Betting Network. We looked at one interleague game. How about if we look at a second one where I'm going to be backing on the under? 973, 974 on the card. The Milwaukee Brewers are on the road against the Minnesota Twins. David Festa hopes to have a fiesta for the Twins, and Quinn Priester is on the bump for the Brewers. Total on this game is 9.5. We were getting a few 10s earlier as well, and for the Twins, right around about minus 134 to minus 144 is that number on them. Brewers in that neighborhood about plus 120 to a plus 130, and for the Minnesota Twins, I'm going to be willing to lay this number. I'm willing to go up to about a minus 137, which is right now what we're seeing at Circa. But again, I really like the under in this spot. I did set my total at 9.2 because with Quinn Priester, I think that he's doing for a little bit of regression. But 2 runs or fewer allowed in 4 out of his last 5 starts. Posting up a 350 ERA, not some sort of strikeout artist. He's only getting about 6 to 6.5 strikeouts per 9 innings and has been giving up about 3 walks per 9. But I do think that also for the Milwaukee Brewers, you have to take a look at this. And when something doesn't make sense, you have to just try to research it a little bit more. And if it just continues and not make sense, you have to think that there's going to be regression. And this is what does not make sense at all for the Milwaukee Brewers. The Brewers play at Miller Park. They play at American Family Field. I still think that it's Miller Park. They changed that name 4 years ago, and I still think that it's Miller Park. So I grew up in the state of Wisconsin. I always went to Miller Park, so shame on me for that. That said, when they're at American Family Field, they're averaging 3.6 runs per game. Not a great pitcher's park, not a great hitter's park, relatively average, but that's 4th worst in all of baseball. They're averaging north of 5.5 runs per game away from home, and that's 2nd in all of baseball. They are averaging about 2 runs per game more on the road rather than at home, and this is out like some team of a whole bunch of mashers. You've got Christian Yelich, who's been able to give you 14 home runs. He's been rock solid, but what really defines this team is their quartet of guys that are able to give you a double-figure amount of stolen bases. Mention Yelich, Jackson Chourio, Sal Frelick, throwing their Bryce Durang. A lot of guys between about a 340 to a 360 on base as well. William Contreras, Rhys Hoskins doing a solid job moving line. Hoskins might be just a shade below a 340, but he's not giving you a double figure amount of homers. Jackson Chourio not giving you a lot of on base, but he's been able to give you a little bit of power as well. But I just think that's so interesting what we've seen here. I think that dries up a little bit. And Minnesota, once again, not necessarily the world's greatest hitter's park. And for Byron Buxton, he's been able to get hot. He's giving you 15 home runs. Trevor Larnach has been able to give you a little bit of power as well. But Matt Wallner has zapped himself since coming off the injury list. Royce Lewis is injured once again. And even when he was out there, he was giving the team a nothing burger. You've got a lot of guys that have been hit or miss. Cody Clements, after a nice start, he's starting to cool off. We'll say Willie Castro, about a 360 on base. He's been pretty rock solid. And for Festa, he has been posting up north of 4-5 ERA. But I think that is just overall power pitching. And the fact that he's giving the team 10 strikeouts per 9 innings is big. His big issue has been the deep ball, giving up 1.4 home runs per 9 innings. We'll say the 4 walks per 9, a little bit less than tremendous as well. But going against the Brewers, Brewers team that they do rank in the bottom seven of the big leagues in terms of home runs on a per at-bat basis. I really think that we're going to start to see some unders for this Milwaukee Brewers team. And as a matter of fact, they have been one of the better under teams in all of baseball. I think that that continues. I do like the under. And for the Brewers, I just am not feeling it with this bullpen. They were relying upon so many guys from last year to be able to duplicate what they did. And Yoepy himself, Spiguero from a season ago, not even with the team right now. You've had Abner Uribe be a relatively solid reliever. He's been able to give you a sub-2 ERA. You've got the likes of Trevor McGill, Nick Mears doing a solid job. And we'll say for the Twins, after a good start to the season for the bullpen, they've been in the bottom eight in terms of bullpen ERA since the beginning of the month of May, but the top guys are still the top guys. Yoan Duran, along with Danny Klum, have been able to give you a sub-2 ERA. Louis Farland has been pretty solid. Brock and Roll Stewart has been good as well. So I do look at the Twins in this spot as being one that should be able to avoid the sweep here. I'm willing to lay up to a minus 137 on that. And I do like this total under as well. How about if we go with the Rafael Devers Bowl as well? This is 977-978 on the card. Robbie Ray says hip hip array to another start, and Lucas Giolito is on the bump for Boston. Total on this game is 7.5, and with the Giants, you're going to be getting them between minus 150 to minus 157. In that neighborhood, about plus 130, perhaps as high as plus 140 is what you're finding on Boston. And if you're looking to lay a run half with the Giants, a lot of places you're going to be getting in that neighborhood about plus 135 to a plus 140, and I'm going to be willing to roll with it. Lucas Giolito has actually been very good recently. 0-1 run allowed in 3 out of his last 4 starts. I think that we're going to start to see a little bit of regression. Strikeout numbers are starting to tick up a little bit, but still, 8 strikeouts to 3 walks per 9 innings. Gives up a little bit too much hard contact throughout his career. And for the San Francisco Giants, you did see Devers go yard against the Boston Red Sox for his first home run as a Giant against his former team. The only way that could have been made better is if he had played first base in that game. That would have been just absolute cinema right there. That said, you do have a Boston Red Sox team that I think that they're going to start to find it a little bit more with their offense. Trevor Story has been a big Giant waste of money, but Wilder Braves giving you a double-figure amount of homers. It's going to be a lot more station-to-station baseball with Sadani Rafaela starting to pick it up a little bit. You've had some of these ancillary guys that have been sort of mix and match starting to step up for the team as well. Like when you get Rob Revsander out there, I always like him to be able to move the line for this team. But I do think that for the Giants, just having that supreme bullpen, number one in terms of ERA, that gives you a big upside there. Randy Rodriguez, Camilo Duvall, Tyler Rogers all give you a sub-2 ERA. I do think that the Giants take it to Lucas Giolito. I think that that Lucas Giolito regression monster is going to be very, very hungry and it's going to eat him whole. So I do like this spot here for the Giants. I'm willing to take that run line, and I'm going to be in on the over as well. Coming up next, we are going to be in on a game north of the border right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on Cashing Out, I'm VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Greg Oops Peterson holding it down tonight, and we're going to talk a little NBA Finals to wrap up the show in about 15 or so minutes, but we have to get you guys some baseball plays as well, because you've got some really nice appetizers before the dessert of what is the best words that you're going to hear in all sports. Game 7, well, Super Bowl is pretty solid as well, so not going to lie there, but we do have ourselves a lot of great action to be able to dive in on, including a game that's happening north of the border. So how about if we start right here, 965-966 on the card. It is the Chicago White Sox on the road against the Toronto Blue Jays as Chris Bassett is the hook, line, and sinker for the Jays, and Adrian, don't call him Doogie Howser, is on the bump for the White Sox. The total on this game is 9 for the White Sox. Pretty sizable underdogs here, plus 178 to a plus 185. And between about a minus 205 to a minus 220 is that number on the Blue Jays. And if you're looking to lay a run half with the Blue Jays, going to be able to find that in a lot of places at a minus 105. And I'd be willing to go with it. Heck, I'd be willing to go up to about a minus 110 with the Blue Jays, as I do believe that Chris Bassett, due in for some positivity, 3.75 ERA. Fielding dependent has been right on par with that. He's giving up a home run per 9 innings, nearly 9 strikeouts to 2 walks per 9. He's been able to do a solid job on that front. Been a case where he started off the year really, really hot. Since the beginning of the month of May, his ERA has ballooned up north of a 4.5 though, so things have been a little bit less than savory for him over the last few starts. But going against the Chicago White Sox lineup that has not been the world's greatest, I think that that's about as fair of a statement as it gets. I think that that's going to help him out. 2.93 runs per game on the road. The Colorado Rockies are averaging more runs on the road right now than the Chicago White Sox. Dead stinking last. Now, you've been able to get Miguel Vargas to get things going. He's been able to give you 10 home runs this season. Andrew Benintendi, since coming off the injury list, has been okay in terms of getting on base, along with Mike Tauchman. But I mean, some of the guys that are able to get on base for you, like an Edgar Quiero, the catcher for this team, Chase Meredith, Lennon Sosa, hitting about 275, they all provide no power whatsoever. And then you've got a cavalcade of different guys. They're hitting below a 215, like Joshua Palacios, Josh Rojas. Have to throw this in here. Luis Robert has been not very useful thus far this season, like a lot of guys, hitting 215 or lower. Andrew Vaughn had to spend time down at the minor league level because he was getting like a 218 on base. So that's not great. Now, I will say for the White Sox bullpen, not necessarily tremendous, because you had Mike Vasil do a really good job as a long guy. They had to trot him out there as a starter, so they're making that transition with him. Steven Wilson's been able to give you a sub-250 ERA, but you got a lot of guys north of a 375 ERA with having Cam Boozer when he's been out there, Penn Murphy as he's dealt with injury and just ineffective play in general, Brandon Isert, guys like this have not been amazing. And then for the Blue Jays, this has been a top 10 team in terms of bullpen ERA over the last 35 days. You've been able to do a nice job mixing and matching with the likes of Paxton Schultz, Brandon Little, Braden Fisher. These guys have been great. And then for the Blue Jays, not a lot of power on this team either. Bottom 7 team in terms of home runs on a per at-bat basis. You've got Vlad Jr. starting to heat up. He, along with as well George Springer, Bo Bichette, all between 9 and 11 home runs thus far this season. And even though the Blue Jays don't necessarily have a ton of power, you do have guys moving the line. I mentioned Guerrero, north of a 375 on base. Bo Bichette is hitting darn near 270. We've seen George Springer slip up a little bit, but I mean, you still have these guys you're able to mix and match with. Do recognize that Nathaniel Lukes has been dealing with a little bit of concussion, so that's hurt the team a little bit, but overall, you've got guys that are able to find a way on. I do think that they get to Adrian Houser just a little bit here. Houser has actually been a really nice find. 5 starts, 2.16 ERA. Feeling been a little bit north of that. He's not necessarily some sort of a guy that's going to get you a bunch of whiffs, less than 7.5 strikeouts per 9 innings, but has kept the ball down, giving up less than a home run per 9 innings, has really worked on the walks as well. So I think that you get yourself a nice little scoring game. I'm going to be willing to take a shot on the under. I did sell my total at an 8.4, and for the Jays, would be willing to go up to a minus 112 in terms of that run line, as it is cashing out with myself, Greg Eubes Peterson, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And we do have ourselves Sunday baseball that is going to be going down, and I feel like this team should be a little bit more of a demonstrative favorite. 9.59, 9.60 on the card. The Phillies play host to the New York Mets. David Peterson, great name and no relation, goes for the Mets, and Jesús Luzardo is on the bump for the Phillies. Phillies are a very slim favorite, right around about minus 110 to a minus 115. Even money to minus 105-ish is that number on the Mets, and total on scheme is 9, shaded up to the over. Now, with Philadelphia, we've been noticing that it's been very good hitting conditions with the wind, with the just overall warmer temps, but I am still going to be willing to take a shot on the under. I think Jesús Luzardo, for lack of a better term, just starts to find it. 4 plus runs allowed in 3 out of his last 4 starts prior to this. He had been just so effective for this team, as he had given the team 11 straight starts of 3 runs or fewer. He was getting 10 strikeouts per 9 innings in those first 11 starts. 2.15 ERA. He was a fringe Cy Young candidate at the time, and all of a sudden, things have went completely down the toilet bowl. Fielding independent is about a point half lower than his ERA, still giving up only about 0.7 home runs per 9 innings. So I think that he's doing for a lot of positivity. And for David Peterson, 2.60 ERA, doesn't necessarily get a ton of strikeouts, 7.7 strikeouts per 9 innings, but is giving up well less than a home run per 9 innings. His 2.9 walks per 9 innings, that's a career best. And he's backed up by a Mets bullpen that has been very good. Top 5 team in terms of bullpen ERA, with the way that things were a relative blowout here on Saturday. That means that you're going to have guys like Oscar Brazoben, who's been able to give you a sub-2 ERA, Reed Garrett, who's been able to give you a sub-2 ERA. These guys are going to be available. Jose Buto, if you need a long guy, has been really good for this bunch as well. And Edwin Diaz, starting to look like the Edwin Diaz of old. And that is a big trepidation that you've got for the Philadelphia Phillies. They are completely outgunned in this bullpen, as for the Philadelphia Phillies, you've had Orion Kerkering give you a sub-3 ERA, and that's about it. Max Lazor hasn't been terrible for the team, but and Jose Alvarado. He decided to take weight loss supplements, and instead, the thing that's really weighing less is his wallet because he's suspended for 80 games. Congratulations there, Mr. Alvarado, but a lot of these guys just have been rough. They had to DFA Carlos Hernandez because he was giving you nothing. Jordan Romano has not been good all season long. They're trotting out their Taiwan Walker, who he pitched in the game on Saturday. He's not been effective coming out of the bullpen. It's actually been quite a bit better as a starter, so it's a little bit of an interesting scenario, but again, I'm going to bake on Asus Azardo being able to give you a relatively good performance against Mets team that you've got a quartet of different guys north of 12 home runs this far this season, with Francisco Lindor currently playing through that injury. He's been able to do a nice job. You've had Brandon Nimmo be able to give you the deep ball, and then obviously with Juan Soto along with as well Pete Alonso. These guys have been amazing, and Soto's really found it after a lot of people were critical of his performance towards the beginning part of the season. He's been able to find a way to give you north of a 375 on base. Alonso north of a 380 on base. Bottom of the fold could use a little bit more from some of these guys like Brett Beatty and company. But all in all, it's been solid. And for the Phillies, you only got one guy that's been able to give you double finger round of bombs, but that guy has been very important. How about what Kyle Schwarber has been able to do? 23 plus home runs, north of a 350 on base. Love what I'm seeing there. Got a lot of guys that are between like 8 to 9 home runs. Trey Turner down for what? Nick Castellanos. You've been having that with a guy like a Max Kepler. Kepler needs to find a way to move the line, get on base. Love much like you've been getting with Alec Bohm, Nick Castellanos, Trey Turner, all these guys hanging north of 275. Interesting scenario here. I do think that for the Phillies, that they do a solid job of being able to get to Mr. David Peterson. So I set the money line at a minus 132 on this one. I do think that a lot of positivity doing for Asus Azardo. I like the money line of the Philadelphia Phillies, and I'm going to be in on this total under as well. Staying out there with regards to a National League team, I think it has some intrigue. How about if we look at the San Diego Padres? This is 979-980 on the card. They play host to the Kansas City Royals. Seth Lugo goes for the Royals, and Randy Vasquez is on the bump for the Padres. Padres are a very slim underdog. You're going to be getting them between about minus 110 to minus 102. That neighbored about minus 110 or so, minus 115. That number on the Royals. And total on this game is 8.5. For the Kansas City Royals, it has been not great with this offense this season. 29th in the big leagues in terms of runs per game. Now, their offense actually takes quite a bit up when they're away from home. I never thought of Kansas City as being a super pitcher-friendly ballpark, but that said, the Royals are averaging 2.9 runs per game at home and closer to about 3.8 runs per game away from home, but not a lot of power for the team. Bobby Witt Jr. finally got to 10 home runs this season. For guys not named Bobby Witt Jr., he's having a solid year, 20-plus home bases, 350 on base, but for Bobby Witt Jr., Sanders hasn't been amazing. Salvador Perez, he has been rough with a sub-285 on base. Starting to look a little bit better, but you do have some of these guys like Drew Waters, who's able to hit about a 265, just not supplying a lot of power. It's been all up to Vinny Pascantino. And I will say, for the Royals, good bullpen. You've got Lucas Ursach, Carlos Estevez, throwing their Daniel Lynch, Steven Cruz, bunch of guys, give you a sub-2.5 ERA. But for the Padres, this has also been a top-8 team in terms of bullpen ERA. Even with Robert Suarez blowing a pair of saves over the last 8 days, you still had these guys like Audrey Amatohon, along with Yuki Matsui, Jason Adam. These guys give you a sub-3 ERA. And for the Padres, has been a pretty pedestrian team with regards to their lineup as well. Though you do now have three separate guys in Manny Machado, Fernando Tatis Jr., Gavin Sheets. I'll give you a double finger round of bombs. Randy Vasquez, even though his fielding independent is a 5.33, his ERA more on to 3.75. He's kept the ball in the yard. That drops to a 3.25 at home. He's been very comfortable in San Diego. Lugo, not necessarily too much of a strikeout guy as well, but I think that the ballpark keeps the ball in the yard. I like this 8.5 under. And for the Padres, felt like they should have been closer to a minus 125 plus favorite, so like them on the money line. We'll wrap up the show talking about Game 7 in the NBA Finals and what I'm all betting in baseball. I'm Cashing Out. I'm VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Sports Betting Network.
It's the final segment of the night right here on Cashing Out. I'm VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. If you're listening live to Cashing Out, you're going to get a replay of this fine program. Meanwhile, if you're listening to the replay, we've got ourselves a tremendous Sunday that's going to be coming up for you. It's going to be starting off with the VSiN Week in Morning Line. Tim Murray and Company always do a tremendous job with that regard. You then get Ready, Set, Bet with Mike Somich along with Matt Brown. They're always total aces on that front. And then you get Live Bet Sunday. And you'll be getting me on Cashing Out after the NBA Finals as well. So I'll be on here with you guys. You'll be seeing a lot of myself the next few weeks. And I'm very, very happy about that. And what else I'm happy for? This is going to be one of the best Sundays on the entire sports calendar. You get a Game 7 in the NBA Finals. College Baseball World Series is on. You've got yourself all 30 teams in Major League Baseball as well. So we've got to get you guys that Sunday safely, try to be able to get you guys a little bit more money in pocket, and try to be able to find you guys some winners as well. How about if we start with the NBA Finals, and then we dive in a little bit with my baseball plays? Because the NBA Finals, it is very much the paramount sporting event that we are going to be seeing on this Sunday on a slate where we've got a lot of good ones, but I mean, this is the first Finals Game 7 that we've seen since it was the Cleveland Cavaliers against the Warriors. I believe that was 8 years ago. Might be a mistake. It might actually be 9 years ago, but I mean, it's been quite some time. So how about if we look at this first right now with the OKC Thunder, 7-point favorites. A lot of places you're finding that total right at a 214.5. And like I said, once again, in-game betting approach is going to be what I take with regards to the side and total. With the total, it's just all about the feel of the game, what you're sort of seeing. Perhaps you think that a team's going to get a little bit hotter, a little bit colder. You like the just overall offense, the flow, what have you. So that's something where it's just based on the situation with regards to the live spread. Whichever team falls down in the fourth quarter is the team that I'm going to be betting. Like, I wish that it was much more complex than that. I wish I had much other reason than it's just cash all postseason long, but it's cash all postseason long. Like, even in game number 6, where it was blowout city, the OKC Thunder won that fourth quarter by 13 points. So you were able to get there on a live line as well. So that's the approach that I'm going to be taking. But I think that Scott Seidenberg on Live Bet Saturday laid it out very well. We talked about it in hour number 1 with Grant Mitchell over at Forbes and the Ride Lion podcast. And if you miss any part of this show, VSiN.com/podcast or the VSiN Best Bets feed, we've got you guys all covered there with every single hour of every single show. But I do think that a lot of rebound props are interesting. I just still, I got burnt by this twice, and I might get burnt by it by a third time, but I just believe that the OKC Thunder are going to utilize a little bit more Isaiah Hartenstein. I've been a bit off-put, by the way, that they haven't utilized him more. I think that this team is going to realize that they've got a nice edge down low, because I'm just not big on Miles Turner. Like, he was the one guy that really got neutralized in game number 6 for this Indiana Pacers team. Just did a big giant nothing burger in general. I think that Isaiah Hartenstein going over 6.5 rebounds at plus money is solid. I just can't get there with Chet Holmgren for 10-plus rebounds. But I think that he's going to have a big role to play in this game. He just hasn't been great offensively. Right now, that point prop is right around 15.5 in a lot of spots, and that's one that I'd be looking at the under on, and that leads me to this as well. The unders I'm going to be taking in, there's going to be quite a few. All these role players, like, I mean, the two that I'm not going to be willing to take under, Ben Mathurin. I've been sort of zigzag theory going over, went over after a small performance for him, and after he has a big performance, then going under. It just feels like it's been sort of yo-yoing and going back and forth there. He's coming off of a rough game number 6 where he didn't do a lot. I think that this is a spot where the Pacers look at him for a little bit more microwave offense off the bench, so I think that he goes over. And Kasan Wallace, his player prop is at a 4.5. It's just too low for me to be able to take under, so I mean, I'm going to be avoiding that. But I mean, someone like a Kendrick Davis, he's a guy that I'm going to be taking a look at the under on. I'm going to be taking a look at the under on so many of these guys, like a Alex Caruso. You would need 10 points for him to be able to go over. I just don't see it from him. You've got so many of these other mix and match guys. Like, I think that this one is interesting. This is another one that I'm not going to be taking the under on, because I think that's correlated. Obi Toppin, what does he give you? If he goes over his player prop of 10.5 points, the Indiana Pacers most likely cover. If he doesn't, I think that they're in for a little bit of a rough night, because Obi Toppin had that game-high 20 points for the Indiana Pacers. He was able to pace them, and we saw what he did in game number 1 when they were able to have that comeback, get the job done, the 5 made threes. I think that this team really comes and goes with him. But again, a guy like a Ben Shepherd, I just don't think that he gets any run here for the Indiana Pacers. Lu Dort, I see him going under his player prop as well. TJ McConnell, I don't think that he gives you too much. I mean, those are all the unders that I'm going to be taking. Now, you got there with so many overs with the reserves in game number six, but that's because it was blowout city. That was a 30-point advantage going into the fourth quarter, and even if you do see a big lead going into the fourth quarter, you can't think that the OKC Thunder are going to be taking their foot off the gas unless if they know very, very well that that game is in hand and they are going to be winning the title. I think they might still let the guys play because, I mean, what are you saving these guys for? The 2025-26 season. So there's that aspect of things, but I'm going to be looking at the under on so many of those props. And again, going to be looking at the over on Isaiah Hartenstein with his rebounds. If you get over 8 rebounds, you get plus money on Pascal Siakam. Can't take him over with regards to this player prop with regards to points. That one's set at 20.5, but I like his rebounds as well. So we're looking at rebounds, and we're looking to go under on the reserves as it is cashing out right here on Visa, the Sports Betting Network. And now let's hit some baseball bets, and all of our best bets, those are powered by GBank. Over at GBank, they're introducing the $500 trifecta. That's where GBank, First Bet, and VSiN all come together, and all you need to do is open up a Visa signature card from GBank, and in the first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 over at First Bet to trigger this $500 trifecta. You'll receive $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Visa signature card. First Bet will give you a $100 deposit match, and then VSiN completes the trifecta with a VSiN Pro subscription all the way through October 31st. That's a $200 value. That's the $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bank, and VSiN. Head on over to VSiN.com/GBank. That is VSIN.com/GBank. This is a one-time promotion that's limited to customers opening up a new account in response to this offer. This will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today, and terms and conditions, they indeed do apply. Now let's take a look at what we've all got on the baseball card for this Sunday, as I think that this is going to be a relatively fun one, as we have seen things go just absolutely flying out of the yard right now in Chicago. We saw it in the game on Saturday, 10-7, 9-4 in that first game. And right now in a lot of places, I'm seeing this total opening up at 11.5 between the Seattle Mariners and the Cubs. I can't get there if you quite get to a 12 or higher, but at the 11.5 or less, I'm going to be looking at the over. The wind is not going to be quite as powerful as it was on Saturday, but I mean, this is still going to be some powerful winds, 15 miles per hour. And while you don't want to have weather be the end all be all, in terms of taking overs and unders, it's paramount when it comes to Wrigley Field. Like, you're going to be getting yourself a nice north of 85 degree day out there in Chicago with winds of 15 miles per hour. Recognize that Logan Gilbert has been rock solid all season, but this is also just his second start coming off of the injury list. Colin Ray has said hip hip hooray to a nice season. He's been giving up 1.2 home runs per 9 innings, a sub-375 ERA. Though we've seen a little bit of regression with him, 3-plus runs allowed in 3 out of his last 5 starts. I think both of these guys are going to be giving up some runs. And for the Cubs, I think that there's going to be a little bit of regression to the fact that since May 15th, they've been posting up a sub-2 bullpen ERA. Had guys like Brad Keller, Daniel Palencia, a lot of guys have been unheralded guys, Drew Pomeranz, be able to step up in this bullpen. I think that there's a bit of regression there. But this Cubs team, boy, have they been mashing the ball. They and the LA Dodgers, top two teams in the National League in terms of runs per game. 5 different guys on this Cubs team with 11-plus home runs. Ball's going to be flying out in Wrigley Field. I think that the Cubs are going to be able to get a lot of those runs. I did set the Cubs at a -112. I like them on the money line. And at an 11.5 or less, I'm going to be in on this total over. We've got ourselves the Braves and the Miami Marlins with one Sandy Alcantara on the bump for the Miami Marlins. And right now with the Braves, you're getting them right around about -135 to a -140. It's a little bit of a chalkier money line. I don't really trust the Braves on the run line. We have seen their bullpen be hit or miss, but with Sandy Alcantara, north of a 6.80 ERA, just has not been great this far this season. I think with the Atlanta Braves getting all that they're getting out of Ronald Acuña Jr., it's changing the fortunes with regards to their offense. So right now, seeing that total at an 8.5, I like the over, and I do like that money line as well. And then I do think that this one is a lot of fun as well for Detroit. You're finding them in a relatively pick-em game against the Tampa Bay Rays with a total of 9. And for Casey Mize, while he's been pretty rock solid here for the Detroit Tigers, I think that there's going to be a bit of regression here. Zach Little, well, he's been coming up big in the amount of home runs that he's given up, 22. I like the over, but Rays team, top five team in terms of bullpen ERA, I think that they get the job done. Set the Rays at a minus 114. So like that Rays money line, and I like the over. What else I love? The VSiN lineup that we've got for this Sunday. Weekend morning line comes your way, 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern, 7 o'clock a.m. Pacific. Ready, set, bet. Mike Somich along with Matt Brown, 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern. And then live bet Sunday, which I'll be making an appearance on there. That starts at 4 o'clock p.m. Eastern. It's all right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.